She was the pride of her daddy's eye. When she was born, he smiled and was filled with joy. He watched her grow. He loved to watch her crawl, to stand, to run. He had his heart. He loved to see her do things, anything. Try to mimic mom. Try to mimic him. He loved it. Whether she was in her own little world or doing her chores or helping out at home, he absolutely loved to watch her. And just like any other mom and dad, from time to time, he'd catch a glimpse. Life would just stop, as many of you parents have experienced, and you just get to absorb for just a moment the beauty of your children. And he just wished during those times that he could just stop life and keep her little and precious and protected. And yet at the same breath, he was so proud of the woman that she was becoming. He could do nothing but smile. That's what she did. She brought a smile to his heart anytime he thought of her. One day that changed. Something happened. His little daughter had a secret. In a moment, her life would never be the same. The way that her mom and dad would look at her would never be the same. We all know what it's like to be in those moments where something happens, something so drastic that we can't even put words to it. We don't know how to express it to people. We don't know who's going to believe us. We don't know how we're going to proclaim our innocence. We don't know who's in our corner, standing with us, standing for us. We just need just one, you know? One that's standing behind us going, no, it's okay. We can do this. We're going to do this together. I will make sure that you make it through this. It will be just fine. We just need one. But yet we've had those experiences where we turn to what we thought was that one. And you can see their face change instantly. And even though they may be standing face to face, you can just feel the distance that separates. The Mary, the mother of Jesus, didn't know how she would put words to what happened. So quickly she went to Elizabeth to see how she was doing. You see, Gabriel had told her that she also was with child, so maybe, just maybe, Elizabeth would believe Mary, believe her innocence, believe that thing that just happened. She couldn't even put it into words. How would she, maybe, just maybe, Elizabeth believe? After all, Mary had been barren. She had no children. In that day, Elizabeth surely had to deal with just the pushback of society. Because for all practicality, she had failed. Her role in life was to give to have children, to give birth, and that to a male nonetheless. And Elizabeth had not. And so she had to bear the shame of being a failure. But now, supernaturally in a way, in her old age, she was also with child. So maybe, just maybe, she would understand. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1 as we continue to read how the story unfolds. We're going to pick it up at verse 39 and read through 45. We have it here on the screen for you, but some of you just like to read it out of your own Bible, and that's great. I'll give you a moment to turn. At that time, Mary got ready, and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that you'd come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." In great joy and in great fear, Mary went running to her relative Elizabeth, hoping that she would understand. It was a four-day journey from Nazareth to Judea. And just to paint that picture a little bit, that would be the same as me letting my daughter, who is 13 years of age, walk to Holland, Michigan, to where my brothers live to visit them. And no, I don't plan on doing that at least for the next 20 years. It's at least to Holland, Michigan. Now, it depends on how fast she walks or, you know, how long of a day she would walk, whether it's in a caravan or not in a caravan. But still, 4 days, 13 years of age. Oh, no, that's fine, Ashlyn. Go ahead. Go see Uncle Micah. Tell him I said hello. Hopefully you get there alive. What went through her mind? She had 4 days to think, to ponder. Certainly in her heart, in her mind, the emotions went from one pendulum to the other, one side to the other. I am pregnant. I'm having a child. I'm having the Savior of the world. For hundreds of years, this child has been proclaimed to come, and it's going to be me. I'm going to be one that bears that child. I'm going to be his mom. I'm pregnant. The pendulum swings. I'm going to have the Savior of the world. How about just a regular kid, a normal kid? I'm not even really married yet. I don't know how to do this. Just give me a regular old Joe or whatever the name would be, Zibabadab or whatever a common name would be in the Bible. You know? There's no normal names. I mean, even, we would say John is, right? But when Zechariah named John, everybody in that family goes, well, nobody's named John. That's a weird name. Sorry, John. I'm having the Savior of the world. I've never done any of this before. What great fear she must have felt. Pendulum swings. The Savior of the world. What will he be like? What will he laugh like? What will he sneeze like? What color of hair will he have, and how will it flow, or how will he run or walk? You know? And that oh so wonderful baby scent. What will he smell like? Bottle that and you'll be a millionaire. You know? What are you wearing today? Fresh baby. We all love the smell of a baby, a newborn baby. What would he smell like? Even in the midst of the nativity, he had to have still been just the most beautiful, freshest smelling thing. I mean, you got donkeys and cows and sheep, everything's around you and all the gunk with them, you know? And here's this precious baby. You want to talk about smelling something wonderful. So she had 4 days to ponder all of this. How would she tell Elizabeth? Would she just walk up to Elizabeth and say, Elizabeth, I'm pregnant? I mean, to our knowledge, Elizabeth didn't even know that Mary was pledged to be married. We don't know that. Maybe Elizabeth didn't even know that either. So like a teenager, would she just come in? Hey, there's no right time for anything. You know, family's down there, they're eating dinner. The teenager walks in, Mom, I'm pregnant. Oh, my dear goodness. Sit down, Dad leaves, right? What's his name, right? One of those like that. Would she just blurt it out? Maybe the whole pregnancy thing, she would just kind of gloss over, you know? Kind of play nonchalant. Teenagers do that too. How was your day? Fine. What'd you do? Nothing. What happened to the school? School. Did you hear about the new iPhone coming out? Yeah. Did you hear about the end of the world tomorrow? Yeah. Anything exciting in your life? No. You know? Mary, I'm pregnant. Yeah, Gabe told me. We had a conversation. It's cool. I'm pregnant too. Let's have some fun. Or would it be more like innocence, right? Teenagers do a great job of when they need something to kind of prop you up. You know that one, right? Oh, you're pregnant. I had no clue. It's so wonderful. Oh, 6 months. Oh, my goodness. Sit down, please. Zechariah will rub your feet. Meal? Oh, don't worry. I'll go fetch the water right now. I'll get the dishes out. We'll get this meal going. No, no, you stay right there. I'll cook. I'll get it all taken care of. Oh, kids, you know, eat this. All right, now it's time to clean. No, I'll clean up. Don't worry. Don't go anywhere. You just stay right there. Zechariah, just keep rubbing her feet. Yeah, we're going to get this. Kids, come on. Let's all jump in together. We don't need to add stress to mommy right now. No, no, I'll get the kids to bed. And she puts the kids down. And then as things are kind of quieting down, hey, I'll go check on the sheep and make sure they're in. By the way, Gabe came by and told me I was having a baby. All right, I'll be right back. Whoa. What did you just say? Oh, I said I'd be right back. No, before that. Oh, I'm going to make sure the sheep are in. No, after that. I'll be right back. Nope, we already went over that. Oh, yeah. An angel stopped by and said I was having a child. These certainly had to be some crazy thoughts that went through her mind for 4 days. But when she arrived, all of her fear and anxiety was taken away. She greeted Zechariah and she greeted Elizabeth, and as soon as she greeted her, Elizabeth began to say, she began to speak, she began to pull out that mystery that was going on in Mary's life. She began to bring peace to her life in a supernatural way. Mary had to be like, how do you know? How do you know what's going on? I have not told anybody. How do you know what's going on in my life? And there was no condemnation. It was, how blessed are you to come and see me, to carry the Savior of the world, that he would come to my household. What a blessing and what peace that had to have been for Mary. She didn't have to convince anyone. She didn't have to proclaim her innocence. By the power of God, Elizabeth knew. She was in Mary's corner. The season that we are celebrating, the message series that we're in, is called Unplugged Christmas. And one of the ways that we can bring peace to others during this unplugged Christmas season is by unplugging from our schedules and making ourselves available to others. How exactly do we do that? During this season, it is a crazy, crazy season. We're wrapping gifts. We're trying to get to all the family together and the travel plans. We still have work going on, and some of you are just so excited about the Christmas season that you're just about ready to pop, right? And the rest of you that aren't so excited, you're about ready to pop also the next person that wishes you a Merry Christmas. And we are packed moment to moment to moment in our already over-scheduled life. So how exactly do we unplug? Richard Swenson, an author on a book called Margin, he says, "Margin is the space between our load and our limits. It's the amount allowed between that which is needed. It is something held in reserve for contingencies or unanticipated situations. Margin is the gap between rest and exhaustion, the space between breathing freely and suffocating. Margin is the opposite of overload. If we're overloaded, we have no margin. Most people are not quite sure when they pass from margin to overload. Threshold points are not easily measurable and are also different for different people and different circumstances. We don't want to be underachievers, heaven forbid, so we fill our schedules uncritically. Options are as attractive as they are numerous, and we overbook. If we were equipped with a flashing light to indicate 100% full, we could better gauge our capacities. But we don't have such an indicator light, and we don't know when we are overextended until we feel the pain. As a result, many people commit to 120% life and wonder why the burden feels so heavy. It's rare to see a life pre-scheduled to only 80%, leaving a margin for responding to the unexpected that God sends our way. Solomon tells us that we have a season for everything. And there are seasons when we run full tilt, and there are seasons when we should rest. And this could be one of those seasons where we rest and extend peace by making ourselves available to others and available to God. Jean-Pierre de Caussade says, "We must humbly accept all that God's order requires us to do and suffer. What he ordains for us each moment is what is most holy, best, and most divine for us." In other words, we plan out our lives, some of us years in advance. How many of you are like a scheduler upon all schedulers? Like you have years in advance, cocks locked and ready to go. Anybody years? No? How about months? 6 months. Well, I've got 6 months. Well, I've got 6 months. Going one, going twice, three times. Good. Some of us are working a day at a time. But it's still planned, and that plan came from yesterday, right? We went through our list of to-dos. All the things that didn't get done, they go to the top of the list. We take those over to the next day, and that's where we start. And what Jean-Pierre is saying, no, no, no. As you have your list, God has his. And at any time, he will break into your life, into your mundane world. And when those moments happen, that is what's on the schedule for now. And that moment is the most divine. It's the most holy. It's the most important time. If we can't measure our capacity, as Swenson states, then we surely can't measure out 20% and keep it in reserve. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, that would be odd anyway. Well, Lord, it's 4 o'clock. I've reserved the next hour for you. I'm in my office or in my car driving home. I'm walking home today, Lord. It's 4 o'clock. You have till 5. Actually, it's 4:03. You're late. But that's okay. You're God. You can expand time if you'd like so. So go ahead. The next hour is all yours. That's not how God operates, is it? It's when you have 10 gifts in one hand, you have another gift in your mouth, and you're getting your keys out for your car, and you're going like this, and something's going on in the parking lot. Someone needs some help, and you're going, you know, trying to get someone's attention. You know, you push the siren just so somebody looks at what's going on. But no, but they just keep going. It's like you're the only other one in the parking lot. So finally you drop your gifts and walk over and help. And that individual, thank you. Thank you for your help. That's when it comes. It's when your kids come home and you've got things to do and it's a busy season and, hey, we've got a dinner later and we've got a choir concert later, so go get your homework done and get changed. I've got dinner on the table, even though I just said we're going to a dinner. Who knows? They're eating twice in one day and within an hour. Anyway. Amen. We're Wesleyans. Never have enough food. And you look over at your child and his face screams, "The world just dropped on me today." That's when you, from your schedule, from your to-dos, and you turn and you say, "I'm listening. I'm in your corner. Tell me." I don't think we can reserve 20%. I don't think we can necessarily set aside time, but we can unplug and we can make ourselves available. Just as Pastor Ron challenged us this summer, to be inconvenienced. Remember that one, the parable of the Good Samaritan? He had plans that day. His plans did not involve a robbery, somebody getting beaten, and no one else taking care of him. He allowed himself to be inconvenienced. He said, "Lord, this is where I'm headed, and this is what I'm doing today. But apparently you had other plans. I will set my plans down. And I'll take care of yours." That's the most holy, that's the most divine thing I can do today. So no, we may not be able to carve out space for God to move. But we can, like Mary, say, "May it be as you said." I don't think Mary had Gabriel scheduled for 6 o'clock. I think he just showed up. What? I'm just a teenager. What do I know? No, this is what's going on. May it be as you said. And so she made herself available to God. And then in fear and joy, she went running to Elizabeth, who was in seclusion. Why she was in seclusion, we don't know, but she was in seclusion. And when Mary came, Elizabeth didn't go, "No, I'm sorry, I don't have time right now. I'm having some stomach cramps, some pains. It's just been a real burden. You know, I'm late in age and having a child, so it's much worse. No, when she came, she made herself available to allow God to speak through her to bring peace into Mary's life. And of course, lastly, our Savior, Emmanuel, made himself available to come and be with you. He makes himself available always. The team is going to come up and we're going to close in a song like usual. I'm going to take just a minute to pray over you. My encouragement for you this season is we may not be able to unplug necessarily by saving that stopgap, but we certainly can unplug and allow priority, God's priority, when he breaks through the mundane, when we know it is God that is moving in our day, we can unplug and say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do today. I'm listening. Watch for anticipation for God to do such things. And just by chance, if he does break in, we can then be his hands and feet that bring peace. I was playing with this whole, I was thinking through this whole idea of Emmanuel, of how to close this service, and I really wanted to say, when we allow God to use us, we are Emmanuel to one another. But I didn't want to say that we are Jesus. Do you get what I'm saying? Because Jesus is Emmanuel, but we are the church. We are his hands and his feet. Think of that. Literally put yourself on one of God's hands. And think about him reaching out to an individual with you as his extension. What do you then become? In Christ, you are with Emmanuel. You are an extension of him. As he comes to give a word, comes to give himself, comes to proclaim his truth. Not just, I am with you, but literally, I am with you. He sends us to be with one another, to bring peace. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you for, an opportunity to worship you today. Thanks for being available. We showed up today not to check off our list. We went to church. We were religious. We were good children. No, some of us came with requests. We had things happen in our week that flipped us upside down. We have no rest. We have no peace. And we've come to you to bring those requests. Some of us have come just simply to praise you, to worship you, to say thank you. And you are not standing with hand out saying, I'm sorry, I don't have time. I only have 4 o'clock available. You with open arms are saying, I'm with you. Come be with me. I don't know why, but we have your heart. You watch us. You smile upon us. I can't help to believe that you love to watch us grow, to laugh. You love to hear us at the end of the day. Say, God, this was what my day was like. These are the joys and these are the struggles. And you love putting your arm around us saying, I know, I love you. And tomorrow when you wake up, remember, I'm with you. Emmanuel, you bring peace to us. And as an extension of you, may we go and bring peace to others. Proclaim it in your holy name.